And you seen that second verse again about all the strife inside and then the King of Peace?
Where passions reigned and tempers flowed, now Jesus sits in love and throne. No dregs of carnal strife are found, but hope and love and peace abound. Oh, I am saved in Jesus' blood. My soul is happy now in God. Oh, glory, glory, can it be? The Prince of Peace has come to me.
Yes, amen. I am so thankful tonight that we don't live by a program. And I know many of you have probably experienced this before, but meditating on this meeting and wanting to have my thoughts right and seeking the Lord for the proper burden at the right time and want to come prepared and to spend the time. And then as time draws closer, you deal with a lot of doubts and different things in your mind. It's just normal. And you pray and you ask the Lord to just continue to impress the burden on your heart and that you want to be effective and faithful. And I can tell you that the message I feel like the Lord laid on my heart tonight was titled Life and Peace. And then they sing this song. And it touches my heart how the Lord works like that and how His Spirit. I mean, I didn't talk to anybody. There's absolutely no one in the world that I've told what's been on my mind. But the Spirit of the Lord knows. And it's the burden of my heart tonight is that we have a real peace with the Lord. And there is peace in the time of trouble. And we'll touch on that a little bit. But I really want to talk about the peace that abides in our heart. And there's two different we can go through trials. We seek the Lord for peace, and there's a submission that comes from that. But, you know, it's really hard to get to that place if there's not a peace that the Lord has brought to the turmoil that's inside of a man's breast or inside of a human's breast, that we need there to be a place where the Lord has come and caused the storm and the war to be accomplished. And I thought about this being satisfied and contented and where turmoil is, and I thought about the wars that exist, and our business is affected right now. We used to manufacture products in Russia, and when Russia attacked Ukraine, we had to move our manufacturing somewhere else. And so our thoughts, we know a lot of people on both sides of that over in that part of the world. And as that conflict has waged and it's affected a lot of people there, it makes you think about what causes those kinds of things and causes there to be turmoil and battle and contention. And it's not a peaceful time by any stretch to live in that area. There's a constant threat. There's a power and a force that is fighting with each other, and one has to win the battle or there won't ever. And I'm going to put in this case, I'll put peace in quotation marks. Because peace is not always something that is just because an oppressor has won. See, there can be what we'll call peace because there's no longer an ability to fight back. That something has overtaken and then they can put their law or their restriction or their rule in place. And even in Brother Dan mentioned praying for our leaders because we want to have freedom to worship the Lord. And we wouldn't take up arms and fight against someone if they came and were to attack us. And if that were to happen, we would be peaceful in a sense. We wouldn't fight back in a physical sense. We'd trust that the Lord would deliver us, but it's not real peace. You can't do what you want. You're under oppression and bondage, but you have no choice. And I want to talk about that a little bit tonight, that the Lord has a peace that is a peace and life. It's both together. It's a peace that actually meets the need that is in our heart, where we're not in bondage or oppression or just like we've laid down and accepted our fate, so to speak. But the Lord has a life for us that's greater than that. That there's a satisfaction and a contentment that the Lord brings. And I would ask you, this is a revival meeting, and it causes, it's time for us to take consideration of our life and where we stand and through all the trials and through the seasons of life. And it's something to serve the Lord from a young age. And I know in my own experience is that my personality has changed. My goals have changed in life. My viewpoints have changed. Things have happened that caused the chemistry in my brain to be different than it used to be. My daughter getting married now lives here with you all in Oklahoma. Changed my brain. I don't think the same way anymore because that event took place. And so we go through these, some people call it, you go through a midlife crisis. You go through a time where you're positioning and what do you think about and where is everything starts to move. And you can have thoughts about when you're young about my life's going to be in a certain way, or I have certain dreams, or I have everything planned in a certain way. And maybe it does, or maybe it doesn't follow that. It might follow it and you get through into that and find out this wasn't what I thought it was. And on the other hand, I can have ideas that I'm going to be in a certain position, and then it doesn't work out that way. You find yourself far from what you originally anticipated. And we go through these changes in life. And so it's important for us to consider where our peace is, and are we satisfied, and are we in a place where the Lord has met the turmoil that's inside of us? And I believe there is a walk that we start with the Lord where we learn who He is and we accept Him, and He brings a peace. But that peace is something that we have to continually live in or continually seek after sometimes, because my personality and my circumstances are going to change in life. And I may not like the changes that come and the seasons that come. And I cannot change them. I may want to, and I can resist, and I can fight, and I can be in constant turmoil inside. But the Lord has a peace for us for every season of life and every circumstance that we find ourselves in. So it a lot of it comes down to then where our fulfillment rests. What is it that causes us to be satisfied? If we could fill out a questionnaire tonight, and each one of us could write down different things, I think that we would illustrate as our most peaceful or fulfilled moment. Like if my life was established like this, I think I'd be pretty happy with that. And I think there would be some differences and some similarities. But our fulfillment has to come from something greater than our circumstances or how we've arranged things in our life. Our contentment, what causes us to be settled in our spirit and in our heart, has to be more than external things. If it's based on external things, things are going to change, and then you're not going to be at peace any longer. So I'd ask you tonight, where does your fulfillment and your rest stand? What satisfies you? What causes your heart to be at rest? There is a battle that is within every man, I believe, all of us. That I've known people that have grown up angry, that there's an anger that they have at life and at different things. And some of us have a greater measure than that than others. But there is a general dissatisfaction that I think all humanity is born with. Look at a child. Some are more mild-mannered, but sometimes the things are a little deeper. Some children will manifest it in a way that you can really see it, and others will cover it, and you really have to dig to find the things that are really rumbling underneath the surface. But there is a battle within it. We have desires and things that we press after. We'll go on a little bit here. I thought about peace on top of the water. I'm never much interested in what's on the surface. Especially in today's day and age, people can have quite an impression. You can present yourself in a certain way. You can follow certain standards or rules or apply certain restrictions to yourself that causes there to be, from an outside looking in, that person really seems to be at calm and at rest. But I'm not too interested in that. And I don't think that's what the Lord looks at either. When He looks at me, He doesn't see me the way you all see me. In some ways, fortunately, in other ways, unfortunately. But He knows where my heart really rests. He knows where my fulfillment and my satisfaction is. He knows whether I have a form or whether He's done something in my heart that springs up from within me. And the Lord wants to do that for each and every one of us. And I'm thankful tonight that as we talk about different personalities, or whether you're born a certain way, or maybe you dealt with, we say, nurture with someone that affected my life and pointed me in a direction, whatever those might be, the Lord has a peace for each one of us. He has an answer to the turmoil that rests inside of us. He has something that can come in and cause that battle to be over. to bring something that causes us to be satisfied and contented in my own skin, in the way that I was made, in my personality, in the way that I think. I don't think like all of you. Probably a good thing there too, maybe in your opinion. But we're not made exactly the same. We don't come up with the same opinion sometimes. But I have to be at peace with what the Lord, how He's made me. I may be louder, or I may be quieter, or I may be quicker to talk or slower to talk. And there's grace for all those places. But I must come to a place where I'm content before the Lord that He has made me for His purpose. And there's a peace in that I'm the Lord's and He's made me like this. He has a reason for me. I may not look like this part of the body or that part of the body. I may not orchestrate or feed like maybe someone else does. But I'm at peace with where the Lord's made me and what He has for me in life. I'm touching on a number of things, and I'll come back and touch on these. But a couple other things is that I think about a lot of today's day. You can get a lot of different motivational things. You can get a lot of programs that you can get on. We debate sometimes in our home about the 168-hour week and this and that. And there's all different things that you can read to try to orchestrate your life. There's all kinds of, I'll call them band-aids to an extent. And I'm not against organization or finding methods that work for you. But it's not what fixes the turmoil that's inside. It's not what causes us to be at peace with the Lord. It's not what will meet and cause us to be content. They can help us. They can cause me to be more organized or to remember things or to be more efficient. Not have any problem with that. But I need to settle something. I need the Lord to meet something that's much deeper than how I just organize my life. Why do you think there's a scripture that says, why do the heathen rage? When we look at the world around us and people will say they wish for world peace or for everybody to just get along, do you know it's actually impossible? It's not possible. It's not possible till we get to heaven unless every person were to give their heart over to the Lord. There's the contention will always be there. And if I look again for my fulfillment and how many people I can get to agree with me or that we have our own bubble of peace, I've missed it. The Lord has something greater than that. I want to read here in Isaiah in the 9th chapter. This was one of the names that was given to Jesus. In the 6th verse of the 9th chapter, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even and forever, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this." It's part of why the greatest part of the Christmas story to me was that when the angels appeared to them and they said, "Peace on earth," it says a whole host of heaven rejoiced because they understood the impact of what this meant for Jesus to come and to bring peace to men's hearts, to be able to come and to minister to the innermost part and to cause us to be content and satisfied in our life and in our existence with where we're at. With what the Lord has given us, the talents, whether they be great or small, that now with the Lord, I have everything that I need. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men, this was the Prince of Peace. And I will assure you tonight that you can look for peace in a lot of places. But the only place that you'll find true peace is when you've come face to face with the Lord and we've asked Him, we've united ourselves with Him. This part where it says peace, in the text it talks about shalom. It means well-being. It means of a good estate. We think sometimes as peace just meaning lack of conflict. And that's where I want to get to the depth of this is that the Lord wants to bring us to a place of a good estate, of well-being. This is what it means to be at peace is there's a fulfillment, a completeness. You see the difference then between something that is at peace because it's broken or oppressed or conquered versus something that is fulfilled and full of life and has all that it needs encompassed. This is the prince of our good estate, of our well-being. So when I come to the Lord, my expectation is that I want Him to bring that good estate, that place of well-being, all of my being, my heart, my emotions, my thought process, Every part of me that he's made, I want the Lord to bring that well estate or that good being or that good estate to my existence. That's what I'm seeking for. And then, and I think when we get saved, we find this, and I think sometimes we don't even realize what we need. We don't really have a knowledge or an understanding of what it means to live with the Lord. And then we go through circumstances, and we go through changes, and we go through midlife crises, and we go through circumstances, and I still have to come back to I need the Lord to give me a good estate, a place of well-being, a place that he has established for us to live in. So I want us to understand that peace is not just submission to oppression. This is a tool of the enemy that where I've cast my head down and I've given up to a certain extent. I don't fight because I feel as if I cannot fight against the force as if it's too strong. And there's a lot of Christianity out there that will preach you just have to live in the state that you're in. It's not the truth. The Lord came to bring us to a place of well-being and good estate and to satisfy the things that are in our heart and in our life. I think about this a little bit, and I know and I believe and preach and teach and understand that there is a submission and a brokenness that we have before the Lord. That we take up our cross, and there is a place of submission before God. But my service to him is not a broken, enslaved state where I have just been cast down and now I have no choice but to serve the Lord so I have peace because I've given up everything and I don't fight against God any longer. If that's my experience, I've missed something. If my experience is that I just go through living life for God because I have to and I have to do all these things and I've just yielded and I've beat myself down and I've beat myself down so I don't fight back any longer, the Lord wants to bring us to a place where our love and our relationship with him is our joy and our contentment. And it's what causes us to be the happy Christian, the one that has joy and peace in his life, because I have found the one that has satisfied the longings of my heart. And you can search for all kinds of other things to fill the longing, but they'll run out. They'll run dry. You'll find your circumstances change, and what satisfied me yesterday doesn't satisfy me tomorrow. Why do you think our divorce rate is as high as it is? Because I'll marry this one, but now I'm not happy anymore, so now I'm going to marry this one, and I'm still not happy, and they go from place to place to place. But we find this happy estate, this well-being, when we fall in love with the Lord, is that there is a contentment and a satisfaction. So we go through life, we go through the changes. Here we find ourselves. I don't know what today is. I took my watch off. April something, 2024. Where am I? Where's my estate? Where am I living? And where does my fulfillment and my enjoyment come from? Where's my satisfaction? Our tendency a lot of times is that if I'm not satisfied, it's everyone else's fault. That's our normal tendency. Is that if my feathers are ruffled, it's not because there's something wrong with me. It's because y'all have done something I didn't like. And you need to learn to tiptoe around me so that I can keep. That's not peace.
No, that's right.
I like to spend time by myself. I like to travel by myself. I like to go with my family too, but I like to be alone sometimes. And I will readily admit that part of the reason for that is I can do what I want. Stop when I want. I can eat where I want. I can drive harder or soft. I don't have to please anybody but myself. That's every now and then. But if you live like that, you haven't found what real peace is. If your contentment is as long as everything is just matched up like I want it, the Lord has something greater for us than that. He satisfies. There's a scripture in Romans that says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And there is something to this that goes, again, I guess I'm underscoring or underlying that in my carnality, I can try to live for the Lord. I can try to, by my own willpower, just force myself to be content and happy with whatever I think is required of me. But it's death. It has no life in it. It runs out. I get tired. And then I get to the point sometimes where I've just had enough and just leave me alone. I don't have anything left in the tank. And we all get there sometimes. But walking in the Spirit is where we find not only that peace, but the life. where there is an abundance, there's a movement, there's a living, there's a completeness that the Lord has for us. I want to read a couple other scriptures here in Psalms and 107. I want to start in the first verse here. We did this in our service and I enjoyed it. It said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And that the praise that we sing and the songs that we sing, they come from the heart because of what God has done for us. And sometimes you do have to sing some of the clouds away that way. But there has to be something inside that starts to draw from that. He goes on here and he says, "I gathered them out of the lands from the east and upon the west and from the west and from the north and from the south. And they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." This existence, people live it. That they can come from all the different directions. And they're lost and they're wandering, seeking a city and a place of habitation. And many of us have been blessed being born in Christian homes, or we've been taught as we've grown up. But we too can find ourselves in this place where I don't feel like I'm at home. I know a lot of things, but I don't live there. Where my heart is it's like I go from one place to another and I'm really not satisfied. And I can see maybe other people that, and what you'll hear a lot of times from people that are in that place is, it's not for me. It's for them, but it's not for me. I haven't found it for myself. And I want to tell you tonight that the Lord has something that is personal, that's just for you. That's for your life. There is a revelation that the Lord has to give you where you learn to love the Lord for who he is, and he meets those places in your heart. He wants to satisfy you. He wants to give you a place to truly dwell in. That's what it says. They look for a habitation, a place to live. We say we're pilgrims and strangers because we are in a physical sense in this world. And our kingdom is not of this world. But I do have a habitation. I have a place that is home for me. That the Lord is there, and there is a place of rest, of safety, of comfort, of peace. And we talk about though the storms be raging, but I have to live there. And the Lord has that for us. He has a place of habitation that you can live in the peace of the Lord. And then that is why we can say, though the storms rage or go through difficult times, that I find the Lord is faithful. He says, and he led them, or he says, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to the city of habitation. I love to think about that the Lord prepared a place. I mean, I think about him. He prepared a place in heaven. But he tried me in the womb. He knows who I am. And he still prepared a place for me to live in on this earth. He created a place for me to have a relationship with him that satisfies and meets everything that is inside of Ken Elwell. And that's something. For him to be able to touch those parts of my heart. And what it takes is getting tired of going to and fro and looking everywhere. And it says, and I think it says in this place, they were hungry and thirsty. And I've tasted this. I've eaten that. I've drank that. I'm not satisfied. There has to be something more. And they cried out in their distresses, and he led them in the right way to the city of habitation. What is the right way? It's this Prince of Peace. This is the right way. He says, I am the door. Enter in and go out. Find the pasture that the good shepherd has for us. He goes on then. He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfied the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. This is the Lord's desire. This was the heart of Jesus. You know, when he looked upon the people and he had compassion on them, this was his heart. His desire was to meet the needs that they had, to give them a place of habitation to satisfy their life. Such is sin. He goes on here in the 10th verse. He talks about, I want to jump down to the 17th. He talks, there's about four different accounts he gives here. The 17th verse, he said, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. I thought about that condition. Fools because of their transgression. Wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. It starts with, it's more than a respect. It's an understanding that I have to deal with God. The turmoil that I have in my heart will be satisfied one way or another. Either I deal with it in this life or it will be dealt with when I die. And it's the fear of God that causes me to have the wisdom to understand that I need something to satisfy that fight that's inside of me. I need something to overcome that. A fool is in his transgression. He says there is no God, and he lives in his place of torment and constant struggle and just the fight that's inside, the place of just constant contention, of turmoil. There's no joy. There's no peace. And they live in that state repeatedly. And here he says they ate something. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. Anything that would satisfy it, they abhor it. I don't want any part of it. It's a fool. They don't understand that the very thing that could satisfy is the thing I don't want anything to do with. Keep it away from me. I don't want it. What a trick the enemy has when he causes people to come to a place that they're full of the hurt and the ache, and they reject the very thing that would satisfy. They abhor it. I don't want anything to do with it. Then I bring it down to myself and I think about situations I get in. And the answer is every time for me to go to the Lord and find the help that I need. And how often do I look over here and I look over there and I want to put my hands on it. And I will try to do everything I can to cause the conflict when in reality the peace is here. They said they abhor it to me and they draw nigh to the gates of death. The place where there is no life left. What did they do? It says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word. Why does the scripture say to eat the word? They abhorreth the meat. But if you'll eat the word, if you'll take it and make it a part of your life, there becomes a satisfaction. It's what begins to minister to those places in our heart. It brings a contentment. And it's why in our walk with the Lord that... Lord, help us as we go through different changes and different circumstances. I'm going to need to understand what the Lord has to say to me.
Yes.
What he has to say to Ken. Because I've got to eat the word in order for that meat to satisfy my life. I can appreciate your testimony. I can appreciate your life and what I've seen the Lord do. But I can't eat what you've eaten.
That's right.
You can tell me, you can testify, you can share, but the Lord sent his word for us to eat it because it satisfies something within us, causes us to be in a place of contentment. Lord, you've met my need. The places where I used to have such a fight and a turmoil and there was such unrest and angst and anger and disruption in my breast is calm. It's solved.
Yes.
It's at end. I think about situations and I don't want to get ahead of myself on where we're at. So come tomorrow night, you hear the second part. But you cannot fix your relationships until you fix what's in your own heart. Until the Lord has brought that peace, until you began to eat and find that contentment, you're not going to find peace with other people. It's just not going to happen. Because what's inside is just going to spoil and poison that over and over and over. So he sent his word, and it satisfied them. It healed them and delivered them from their destructions. It saved them, is what it did. It caused them to have something that would satisfy their very inner being. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice. I like that. We talked about that today. The sacrifice is a praise. And asking and having a need and coming back and thanking the Lord for it said sacrifice. And then make your what you do for the Lord, the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, the things that we confess. Lord, you've done this for me. The joy I have in my life, the peace, the things that you've ministered. I give you praise and honor. I speak those things. I praise you publicly, openly, with my life and my testimony. Let my sacrifices be the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And declare his works with rejoicing. And then this 23rd verse, he goes on, and it made me think a little bit about some of the things we go through in life. It says, they go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifted up the waves thereof. And they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths, and their soul is melted because of trouble. What an image that paints in our mind of those waves that are so, so big they could just swallow anything up. And we live on the coast. I love the ocean and to be able to see and understand its power. Oklahoma is great because of the skies, and it reminds me of the same thing. You have tornadoes and things here that could just blow anything away. The greatness of God's power, you can see it. You can understand the ability for him to destroy the judgment, the things that rest in that. Said these men, they did their work in the water, and they went out, and behold, the majesty, the power of God, and their hearts were melted because they were so small compared to the greatness. The waves were so high, they would just destroy anything in its path. You ever been there in life where it felt like it's just the waves are too big? They'll destroy me. I don't have any way to contend. I have no weapon. I have no rudder. I have no sail. I have no way to contend with waves that are this big. Their heart melted. A lot of times in those places we lose hope, and it just doesn't seem like there's any way out of these kind of distresses. Places that are just too heavy. They're just too big. Things that are more powerful than I am. These men that did their work in the sea, they understood what that looked like. They worked around it all the time. I think when the wind would start to blow, you'd have a wary eye towards it. What is this coming on the horizon? And if you've lived long enough, you start looking sometimes at what is this on the horizon? How big is this storm? The water's unsettled, and there can be fear, and there can begin to be things that cause us to draw back because I can anticipate the breadth of what life can bring. The answer was still the same. It says, they mount up to the heaven and they go down again to the depths, and their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, and he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Now that is peace. Yes. That is not a peace where I have been destroyed. Right. It's a peace where I have been fulfilled. Right. It brought me to a safe and a quiet haven. It says their desired haven. Right. It means the desires of my heart are now aligned and matched, and what I want in my life God has brought about. The beauty and the things that I know honor him, that he's caused to live in this place. It makes me think of Jeremiah, of the good thoughts he has towards us to bring us to an expected end. This peace, it's not just peace, but it's peace and life. It's something that fulfills and makes us contented. It meets my expectation. That's what it is. He brought them out to a safe haven. Just a little bit longer here and I'll be done. Mark, and in the fourth chapter, you read that, it makes you think of Jesus stilling the storm. And we know these stories, so we don't have to read them all the way through. But one of the things that sticks with me on this, and I felt like the Lord inspired me with, was they had been on this boat and they were fishermen. We know that story. The waves were bigger than they could anticipate. And they were afraid. They thought they were going to die. The Lord said, peace be still. And a lot of times then that's the end of the story. Most times we think about it is that he calmed the storm, told them, ye of little faith, the Lord's in control. And we say, okay, we can be at peace. But I love what happened after this, because it really speaks to the power of God to bring true peace and life to a heart. What is greater? For the Lord to calm the winds that blow, or the Lord to bring a man named Legion, because he had so many spirits in him. And if you read through this, they tried to bind him. He was not clothed. He wasn't in his right mind. They had done everything they could to constrain him to make peace. They had tried everything in their power to bring peace to their region with Legion. But when he came again, when he found the Lord, who is this that walks? Something greater than him. Something more powerful than what was within this man. And the most beautiful part of this story is at the end, when you read down here and it says that he was sitting. I want to read it. Where does it say here? Fifteenth verse. And when they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and he had that had been legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. This is the power of God in our life. To take our mind that it wasn't right and to make it right. We can sit by the fire with the Lord, content, satisfied, in our right mind, at full peace with what the Lord has done. And I love that he stilled the storm, but then he represented directly after that, that the real power of God rests in that he can take our lives, no matter what they are, and to put us in our right mind, clothed properly, sitting around the fire with the Lord. And what did he say? Go and tell what the Lord's done for you. Go and rejoice. Tell all those that'll listen, you know what I was, and now you see what I am. And there's only one that can do that for us in our life. He wants to bring us life and peace. So I don't know where you are in your life, what circumstances you face. It's great living on the West Coast. You don't hear anything. We just live out there in our troubles that we have. But I can come here and I can tell you, I don't know anything. All I can tell you is that the Lord has a real peace for you. He has something that will satisfy. He has a life that is full and complete. You won't find it in the books. You won't find it in the podcast. You won't find it in men's ideas and philosophies. You're going to find it when you come to the Lord and say, and there is a brokenness in that. There is a part of us that says, Lord, I accept. But then what he gives us fully satisfies. It changes our thought process, sets our feet on a different path. We don't have to be bound. We don't have to be constricted. It's not by chains that we find peace. It's not by willpower. It's not just because I'm so determined I'm going to live for the Lord. So, and I don't get me wrong, we want to set our face, but there's something deeper than that. The Lord wants to give us a peace, a well of water that's springing up within us. Ask the Lord that he would speak this to our hearts. And if you're in a place where you need peace tonight, come and find that peace. The Lord wants to give you something to take home with you.